Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to Survival Mode Disrupted. I am super excited to be bringing you another episode. This is your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor. And today I have Sean T here. Yes. Why don't you introduce yourself, ma'am?
Thank you for having me, Miss Leticia. I am Sean T Refuge. I am a master certified mental health coach, mental health advocate, keynote speaker, and author of the best-selling book, Quiet is Kept. And my story... are you ready for my story?
I'm ready for your story. Let's hear it.
Let's get into the story. So back in 2018, I woke up on one Sunday morning and I didn't feel good. And it was a different kind of I don't feel good. It was like a literal dark cloud was hanging over my head, like on the Charlie Brown cartoon, that character who had that was me. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? And I was like, okay, maybe I'm about to start my cycle or something. I don't know, you know, I was just in a funk. And so it, you know, I ignored it. And days went by and it turned into weeks. And during this time, I started crying for nothing, cussing people out, being withdrawn, being angry, sad. It was just like an emotional roller coaster. And I could not get off of that ride. I couldn't stop it. Like, what the hell am I crying for? Why am I mad? I couldn't explain it. And I couldn't stop it. And so it started bothering me after about a month of this, because it was like, okay, this ain't normal. Something wrong. So I went to my primary care doctor and I was like, look, something wrong with me. Am I going through menopause? What's going on? Because I'm acting like, you know, she was like, no, you're not going through menopause. I was too young anyway. But and she said, no, it sounds like you're just a little depressed. And I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do about this? And she was like, well, I'm just going to give you some antidepressants and come back in 6 weeks. And I'm like, no antidepressants? I want to know what's wrong with me. And she was like, no, go ahead and take it. So I was like, okay, I'll take it. And I took it 6 weeks, came back, and I said, look, this shit ain't working. Because it was not working at all. It was like eating candy or something. And my symptoms were getting worse every day. It got worse. And she was like, well, I'm not saying anything's wrong with you, but I need you to go see a psychiatrist. And I'm like, black people don't go see psychiatrists? And she laughed, just like you laughing. And she said, yes, they do. And I need you to go see one. I'm not saying anything's wrong with you, but I need you to go see a psychiatrist. And I was like, man, I don't want to go see no psychiatrist, but I don't want to go to jail either, because I was already being verbally aggressive. I felt myself becoming physically aggressive. So I was like, okay, Shanti, you're too cute to go to jail. So you're going to have to go see a psychiatrist. And so I did eventually. It took a month for me to get into an appointment. And then I told her what was going on. And she was like, I'm gonna give you some antidepressants. And I'm like, no, the hell you're not. I don't want no antidepressants. Why do y'all keep trying to give me antidepressants? I went off. Oh my God. And she was like, well, if you don't want antidepressants, I suggest you go see a therapist. I'm like, see, growing up, I did not know anyone who looked like me who would say,
I'm
I
going to
have
see
a
a therapist.
psychiatrist. I have a therapist. We
No,
didn't talk about shit. We didn't talk about stuff like that.
the only
So,
ones that did are the ones that ended up in some psycho, and it was forced on
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And I did not want that. So but I finally found my th it took me three therapists to find my therapist. And I finally found my therapist. And I let her know what was going on. And I told her, you better not try to give me nothing because I don't want nothing. I want to know why I'm acting like this. What can I do to stop it? And I need help. And if you can't help me, I guess I'm just going to jail. But I was like on a thousand. And she was just looking at me like, okay, I'm gonna help you. And she did. She actually did. She introduced me to talk therapy. Of course, me growing up in my community, we didn't talk about nothing. We didn't talk about our feelings. We didn't talk about our emotions. You were supposed to just suck it up and keep it going because you had stuff to do. You had, school, work, home, kids, family, whoever. You ain't had time to sit in your feelings. So we started with talk therapy, and then she introduced me to journaling. And I'm like, she laughed because again, I did not know anyone who looked like me who journaled. So yes, I lived a sheltered life, I guess. But she was like, no, not journaling like that. This is how I want you to journal. So, she ended up giving me prompts to journal too. And through those, I learned a whole bunch of stuff about myself that I didn't even know, and I learned that I had experienced traumas that I had no clue that was traumatic. I eventually was diagnosed with severe anxiety and depression. So that's why I was acting crazy, because all of those suppressed emotions and feelings that I had buried deep, deep, deep since childhood, they just exploded like a volcano, and I could not control it. So, she was able to help me with that, and I learned that I was a victim of child abuse. Didn't know that. I just thought, hey, you get in trouble, you get your butt whipped. That's life. I didn't know that me being a teen mom was traumatic. I had my first kid when I was 14, so yeah, that was traumatic. Looking back, like me now looking back, yes, that was traumatic. But during that time, it wasn't traumatic. So I was like, oh well. You and everybody else around here having a baby, too. That's what it was. And I didn't know that me being arrested when I was 16 was traumatic for me. And a lifelong of bad choices, bad relationships, bad decisions, because I didn't have any guidance. My mom was there, but she worked. So there wasn't anybody there. And basically, I ran the house. I was the mother of the house. I did all the things when I was just still a kid. But one thing I was for the I was damn determined. I was gonna finish high school. Because I had, even family members saying, oh, you're not gonna finish school. You're gonna have five kids right behind each other and you're not gonna graduate, baby. Let me show you better than I can tell you. I graduated on time with a
Hey,
3-year-old on my hip.
hello.
Yes. And so, during that, all these times, like I said, making bad decisions, and then I was finally able to face them with the guided journaling. I started writing like my life depended on it because it did, and I did not want to take meds. I'm not against anyone who takes meds. If that's your thing, then do it. My thing is don't let it be your first choice. Find, holistic, measures to take. And that's what I did. I started off with journaling, then it jumped from journaling to yoga to breath work, meditation, grounding, all this stuff that I saw white people doing and never
You
saw
went
a black
full on
person doing
in.
it. Baby, I do
I
it
love it.
all. I do it all. And I did it because I needed to figure out where this pain was coming from, like for real. I didn't even know I was in pain, and I thought this is just who I am, and you're gonna take it or leave it. And I prefer if you left it, leave me the hell alone. That's the attitude I had, but that's not, how it is now. I have healed from my traumas, and through that, it inspired me to help other people because I said, I know that there is somebody else out there who feels the same way I do, don't want pills shoved down their throat, because the antidepressants don't solve your issue. They just pacify you, they numb you. It doesn't help you get to the root of your issue. You still have those underlying issues. So I created the same guided journals that I use for my healing. I went and made them pretty, had them published and printed, and I started selling them. I went online. Hey, my name is Shanti, and I had a nervous breakdown in 2018, and this is what helped me. I was doing that. I started going in person to events and selling. And I was at one event, and one of the event hosts came on my table and was like, "Are you ready to talk now?" I'm like, "Talk to who?" And she said, "You need to get on the stage. You need to quit hiding behind those journals. You are hiding. You people need to hear your story from your mouth." I'm like, "Oh my God, I don't want to tell my business in front of all these people who don't know me. They're gonna judge me and criticize me and everything." And but she said, "No, it's time." And so, I went. I said, "Okay, I didn't want to turn down an opportunity." And so I went to the I went backstage and I called my best friend. I said, "Girl, they're making me speak. I can't do it. I can't." And my best friend, she said, "Bitch, get off my phone and go speak." She's like, "You could do this. Go do it." And I did. So that's what started my speaking career. So people, after I spoke and told my story, so many people came up to me, "Oh, that's my story. I'm going through the same thing, or I've gone through the same thing. And thank you for telling your story." And from there, people started asking me to speak. They started asking me to hold journaling workshops. So I do that. And then somebody had the nerve to ask me, "Do I coach?" I'm like, "Uh-uh, don't do that." But here I am, a coach. So I do coach. I do one-on-ones. I do support groups. I do it all. And, it's not about me anymore. I use my platforms and my story to help other people, especially women of color, because, we were taught to shut up and live. But that's not living. We have been in survival mode forever for generations. And no, it's time for us to start thriving, honey. That survival mode stuff, that don't work for us. So that is the story of Shanti Refuge Journals.
Yes, ma'am. So look, you spoke about a lot, and one of the reasons, I've put out a call for people to be on this podcast, and what I have struggled with is finding Black women to tell their stories. This, let me just start by this. You said it very clearly and correctly that we have been living in survival mode since slavery time, okay? And if we understand how trauma works, trauma gets passed on generation to generation to generation.
It
What
does.
we have learned, right? Like my granny was huge in raising me. However, what I learned from my granny is you don't let your wig slip. No one needs to know that you're in pain. No one needs to
That
know that
part.
you're struggling. You
That part.
show
Yes.
up,
Yes.
even if you're an
Yes.
empty shell, you show up
Yes.
and you show them who you are. And
Exactly.
while I understand that, right? Like I understand that in society because listen, Black women are at the bottom of the totem pole, right? So we have to make sure that there is no weakness attached to us. However, what it does to our mental health is shove us into survival mode for decades, if not life.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So many of us have been traumatized. And what was very interesting about your story was it wasn't until you were in therapy that you even recognized some of your trauma.
Yeah, had no clue. Had no clue.
So many people are out there operating from that space, not letting the wig slip, not letting any form of weakness show. They become this warrior in order to survive day to day. But it
And
weakens us, whether we are,
yes, it does.
cognizant of that or not, we have emotional responses because we're
Yep.
human. We respond physically to stimuli because
Yep.
we're human. And to teach our children to remove that human element of
Yeah.
processing and living,
Yep.
it is an absolute disaster in the way that we show up and operate, right? So many of us
Yeah.
could be living fuller lives if we just knew how to process our emotions, if we just knew how to identify trauma.
Right. Absolutely right.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How would you define survival mode?
Let's see. See, I didn't know it was survival mode when I was in it. You know, I called it being strong, you know, because we have that. You got to be the strong Black woman. And basically, you know, I was running on fumes, showing up for everybody else. And that I thought that made me valuable. But, you know, I wasn't performing in strength. I was just surviving. And, you know, survivor mode looked to me like, forget about you. Don't take care of everybody else. It don't matter if you hurt. It don't matter if your feelings hurt. It don't matter if you're going through something. Your feelings don't matter. And you should not have feelings. You don't show nobody your feelings. You wait till you get home and cry on a pillow. And then you get up the next day and do it all over again. That's what survival mode was to me. It was not, you know, feeling. It was not living. It was not sitting, you know, and being. And it definitely wasn't taking care of me at all. You know, it was take care of your kids, take care of the house, go to work, pay the bills, you know, say yes to everything, even when you want to say no. That's how we get burned out. And some people don't even recognize that. That is survival mode. That is not living.
Not living at all. Listen, I didn't even think burnout was a real thing, until it happened to me, and I literally could not get out of bed. And I was like, wait a minute, is this real? Like, I know that only happened to white people. And I'm sorry, listeners, if
Yes.
like you never heard this part of my conversation, but I'm being honest. I thought it was something that happened to white people because we are too strong and got it too
Exactly.
together to be talking
Exactly.
about burning out. First of all, I don't even have time to burn out. What are you talking about?
That
Right. And I think this conversation is really important for the Black community. Listen, we all experience trauma. We all put ourselves in survival mode. And while, you know, Beyonce has us all her celebrating the fact that we survived, like it's not the final destination at all. Like life is so much better on the other side of
Yes,
survival.
it is. It truly is.
Yeah. And it's such a gift. It's such, you know, it's such a gift to get to that space. But it's also this, you get to this level of awareness and you see other people literally in survival mode, and you just want to shake up, like,
Literally,
oh!
literally. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was just me. Thank you.
Yes,
No.
you do. And this is one of the reasons why I'm having these conversations, right? We do not talk about trauma enough. We don't talk about the residual impacts of trauma enough. So many people are operating in a space of ignorance, not because they want to,
Right.
but it's because of the way that, you know, they are raised and
Yes.
life happens, and we
Yes.
don't always have that opportunity to pause, or we think we don't have the opportunity to
Yes, I was about to
pause.
say, yeah, because I mean, this is a time where we have to give ourselves permission. Give yourself permission, whether it be to heal, to grieve, to feel, to rest, to write, whatever it is, give yourself permission to do so because nobody else is. And they shouldn't be either. This is your life, your body, your mind. You control that. You can't let society or mama, daddy, husband, work, whoever control how and when you get to be you.
Absolutely. And I always talk about radical ownership. I think that is the key to acting in survival mode, taking radical ownership of your life. We often succumb to the stories that we tell ourselves. And oftentimes our stories are the stories that have been passed on through three generations, right? Like I say it, when I was growing up, my granny would like, I was in a private school. It was maybe four or five other black kids in my year. So my granny was like, you can't go to that school and act crazy, right? Like, you
You're going
better
up
go
there
and show
embarrassing
them
me.
who you are.
Yep, you
So
got to be the smartest, the
that
cleanest, the
conditioning is what was ingrained in me up until I started in on my own personal development journey. When I showed up in I was in law enforcement. When I showed up in courtroom, I had to be a certain person. When I was in corporate, in commercial insurance, I had to show up and not let anybody see a level of weakness, especially once I moved to England, because now I'm out of my culture. I am in this very passive culture and I'm assertive. So I have to be certain about who I am when I show up in these rooms. I was working in an environment where it was mostly white man, and I was a foreign black woman. So I had to show up. There was no room for weakness in those environments, but I didn't allow myself to be weak at all. So when I took off my suit from work, when I am able to relax in those moments, those were the times where I could be myself, and I didn't know how to. I wasn't taught how to,
Yeah, I get it. Because I know I didn't know who the hell I was. I thought that broken side of me, that hurting side of me, that trauma side of me, I thought that was me. And that's why I just took on, okay, well, whatever, this is me, blah, blah, blah. But that wasn't even me. And so when I started the journaling process, it helped me to peel back those layers and deal with those traumas and hold myself accountable, because you can only blame somebody else for so long. When you become grown and at this big age, I can't keep blaming my mama, because now I have to change that trajectory. I have children too. So, I started my healing process and I'm good. Now I had to go get back and get my kids, because I passed on to them what was passed on to me, what was passed on to my mom. So, there is no excuse, none at all, unless you just like being stuck because you like the attention that it gives you. That's the only way I see.
Say it again, okay? Sometimes the narratives that we're holding on to is because we like the attention that it brings us. I mean, we don't have to hold it. We don't.
Absolutely.
So tell us more about your journals. Tell us more about how you help clients. Let's talk about how you're changing the world.
Let's see. I'm changing the world by, educating. That's my main thing, educating, especially women in our community, who are stuck in their ways, thinking they can be better, do better, have better. Yes, the hell you can. You can rewrite your story. You don't have to take on that story that they gave us. And you know who they is. We could rewrite our own story. Just by journaling. I have guided journals for self-esteem. I have them for self-love, self-awareness. I have them for couples. If you're in a relationship and you are working on your communication skills, because Lord, I used to expect my partner to read my mind. And if she didn't read my mind, then then you ain't my partner then, That's unrealistic. So, I have, you name it, I have it. I have it for, faith. I have for gratitude. I have all kind of guided journals. And these are the ones that I personally use for myself to go through my healing journey. And they work. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. Right. So, and then from that, I wrote a book, because I felt like people needed to get to know the real, down, dirty, grimy truth about everything. And I wrote the book. It's called Quiet Is Kept, and it starts with my story from when I was like 4 or 5 years old when, you know, I went through my traumas, the child abuse, the, you know, me having sex early, me having a baby early, and all the stuff in between that I shouldn't have been doing. And it was, you know, due to no guidance, you know, no real, you know, mentorship, no, nothing like that. I was just free for all doing whatever. And so, but I also talk about how I overcame all of that. I didn't, that could have just been my story and I could have stuck with it and ran with it until the day I died. And I didn't want that to be my story. I changed my story. I gave myself permission to face my stuff, all of my stuff, heal from my stuff, and move the hell on from my stuff so that I can help somebody else. So that is what my book is about. And I actually, from there, I started a podcast called Quiet Is Kept. Well, I'm talking about the same thing, all the stuff that, you know, we were told not to talk about. Don't you talk to other people. Don't you talk to strangers. Don't you let nobody know that, you know, no, those storytelling days are over. It is okay to seek help. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to admit that you're not okay. And it's okay to go and get a support system that is not your family. Because 9 times out of 10, your support system is not your mama, is not your auntie, your good cousin, your good girlfriend from kindergarten. That is not your support system. Your support system is going to be people who have been where you are and have overcome what you are trying to overcome. And they can take you and say, here, this happened to me. This is what I did. Try this. I'm here to support you. If you need any, that kind of stuff, and really mean it when they say if you need anything. And so from there, I started my YouTube channel because I'm talking about, you know, like you said, I just be wanting to shake some people. It's like the things that I see now, I didn't see them back when I was broken. So now I can look at somebody and say, oh, poor thing, she going through it. Oh, poor thing, she need to get rid of him. Jesus don't understand, you know. And I can see it now. And it's like, I've always have the, had this undying need to help the world because I'm an Aquarius. But now that I've gone through my healing journey, it's like even more so. It's like everyone I come across, you know, I have a personal goal every day. If I have not helped at least one person per day, I haven't done my job. So that's what I do every day. You know, I'm talking, running my mouth about journaling, about mental health. I am. Baby, people get tired of me and I don't care because I'm not going to stop talking about it. And you know, when I first started this, I thought that I would get tired of telling my story. I am not tired. It's like every time I tell my story, I feel like I have come alive again.
I can
And
relate to that. I can
I
definitely
love it.
relate to that. I was actually challenged by a coach to share my story, and she challenged me to do it 50 times in 6 months. And I was like, have you lost your mind?
Right?
Like, where am I going to tell my story 50 times? And who wants to hear it? And I remember going on to, Facebook and the podcast groups, and I put my story, I survived teenage domestic abuse, and like the response was like, bang, I want you, I want you. In 6 months, I end up doing 150 podcasts.
That's right, baby. You better triple that. I know that's right.
Yes, right. And but you know what it is we heal as we tell our stories, right?
Yes.
But there's also something very therapeutic about sharing our stories, and we create community through sharing our stories, right? You said something earlier that I want to just speak to about, we can't go to our mamas and our aunties for support, or we don't always get it from our mamas and our aunties for support. But what we also need to realize is we can't heal in
Alone.
the environments that may
That
have
broke us.
caused the trauma, right? And
Absolutely.
oftentimes it starts in the family unit, and it's not seeing your children. It's, maybe being too busy to be present with your children. This all creates trauma.
It does.
And if our aunties and our mamas are not tuned in to healing themselves, what type of support are they really going to give us? Because all they're going to do is perpetuate the narrative that we've been carrying as in survival mode. The narrative that literally broke us is what they are going to perpetuate for us. So it is important to step outside of our environments to seek help and seek support. And like you said, sometimes that support is like support we have never had. And it's genuine. You know
Yes,
what I mean?
it
Like,
is. It
and
is.
you know, particularly coming from women who aren't used to asking for help. To have someone say, "I'm here to help," and mean it,
Actually mean it, yes.
it could be terrifying at first.
Like, wait a minute. What you mean you're here to
What
help?
you mean? What you want from me?
Yes.
You know what
Yes.
I mean?
Yes.
But the growth on
Absolutely.
the other side of that, when we're able to let down our guards and really take radical ownership of our lives, it's a magic that changes everything.
It absolutely is. And I just want more women. I don't care where you come from, who you are, what your status. I don't care about any of that. All I care is about your mental health and your healing because we all deserve to be healthy and whole. All of us deserve it.
Absolutely. So, where can we find you online?
Maybe you can find me everywhere. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram, TikTok, Shanti Refuge Journals. I'm on YouTube. You can go to my website, shantirefuge.com. Yeah, just start there and then everywhere else you'll find me.
Okay,
That's
well.
where the healing begins, on my
Yes,
website.
ma'am. I will have all of that information in the show notes. But before we wrap up, give me one takeaway for the audience.
One takeaway that I have is that you are not alone. And I want you to know that there is life beyond survival. And your healing doesn't have to look like anybody else's because it ain't gonna look like anybody else's. But start where you are. Pick up a pen, be honest, be messy, be real. And that's where freedom lives.
I love that. So, thank you guys for listening. Shanti, thank you so much for being here and being honest and raw. I love the conversation. Listeners, I'm going to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, thrive on your own terms, and I will see you next week.